taking it in a different direction. All right, you're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. I'm Bruce Maimon. If you think of gypsy music, what comes to mind? Can you combine gypsy music with jazz? Sure you can. In jazz, you can pretty much do anything you want. Our next guests are living proof. Jazz Gitan bills itself as Sacramento's gypsy jazz swing trio. It's a little more than gypsy, but they proudly celebrate the music and spirit of a gypsy, a guy named Django Reinhardt, and gypsy jazz. They performed this Saturday at the Delta King in Old Town Sac as part of the Mardi Gras Festival this weekend. And joining us in the studio are Don Price and Ken
Belaichi.
Belaichi, yeah. Guitarist, lead guitar and rhythm, respectively, and Jane Thompson on the string bass. Musicians, welcome.
Thank you for being here.
Okay, I need to know who started this. I mean, it's not like you run around in front and you bump into people who are Django Reinhardt fans, even in the music community. So how did this kind of begin? Who's the Django guy and who found these other people? How'd you do all that? You?
Don's the Don? Party. Yes.
All right, go ahead. Come on.
Okay. Went to our first Django Fest in 2001, although I was into this before, in about 1999. Went to the first Django Fest and saw Pearl Django, whom I already knew, and an artist from Holland, from Amsterdam, actually, and that was Robin Nolan. And so that just made me go, wow, I got to do this. I got to do this all the way. So from there on out, I just started checking it out and trying to get into it as much as possible.
And then as you filtered through the music community and the live music performing community, you ran into these two degenerates right over here, because all jazz musicians are degenerates. We all know that.
Exactly.
And how did you run into Ken and into and I know you've had some personnel changes. That happens in groups. But how did you kind of run into each other and say, hey, great idea, let's have a band, and we'll just play a lot of this kind of stuff?
I tried to... go ahead, Ken.
Well, I had known Don for a long time, and we both played in rock bands and funk bands and soul bands, and then I found out he was getting into this style, and we would jam every now and then, and I'd say, well, this is pretty neat, but, you know, what are we going to do with it? But the more we played, the more we enjoyed it, and we just kept playing and playing, and we started getting some gigs.
And Jane, how did you stumble into this?
I went looking for string bass lessons, and my first lesson with Don Price, and I found out at our first lesson that he doesn't teach string bass, but he does teach theory.
Okay.
And I'd never heard of gypsy jazz before I met Don. And it's the music I've been looking for my entire life.
You had not known of it heretofore?
Is that what
you, wow. No. Interesting. No. So all of a sudden, a cathartic moment for you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And ever since I was 19, I always wanted to play in a jazz trio. Mm. But I didn't know what kind of jazz trio. Wow. Here I am.
So now you do two things that make people look at you funny. You like this kind of music, and you play the string bass. That's not usually what you see with women. They tend to play guitar or something, flute or some nonsense like that. But the string bass, you're lugging around an instrument that's bigger than you are, basically.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm sort of curious, when you go through a personnel change, what's the interview process like? What are you looking for? Do you ask certain questions? All right, spell Django. You know, it's like, do you put an ad out and say, you must know this, or how does that work? Because personnel changes happen.
Usually a polygraph test involved.
That's right, yeah.
Now, have you ever fired anyone from this band?
Not yet.
Today could be the day, right?
Well, but obviously they have chops. They can play the instrument. They can play an instrument, but there must be something else. I mean, is there a deal breaker or something?
Sure. I would say devotion. 100% devotion to the music. To the style. I mean, that's it. Because we have actually played with a lot of players. And, you know, you can always see whether they really want to play it or they don't want to play it. In her case, she really wants to play it.
I see. Yeah, I get it. That passion has to be there. Certainly makes it sound better. You hear through the music without even being able to, you can't put your finger on it, but you know it. I'd like, you know, you have your axes in here, your guitars. And sorry, slipped there. I'm wondering... I don't know if people know what this sounds like, but I don't know if they know what this sounds like as compared to something else. You've got a guitar, and people think, okay, there's classical, there's flamenco, there's this, there's that. But playing this kind of music, the kind of music that Django Reinhardt plays or played, is different. Perhaps using the instruments, can you maybe give me a sample of what somebody might walk into and what they would have to change in order to sound like they're playing the music of Django Reinhardt in this gypsy jazz tradition?
Sure. One example would be in the, like, say you're playing an A minor chord.
If you want to bring that just a little bit up to the mic, that'd probably be good.
Sure. We're playing like an A minor chord here. A lot of people would just play this thing open. Okay? Or they would play a bar chord like this. Although you can't see that at home, but this is a bar chord.
I left my wife in Tripoli.
Well, for example, they would never use the jazz minor 7, you know? Uh-huh. They would always turn it into a 6. So it'd have a minor 6. You never hear this dominant 7 sound, usually in gypsy, at least on the tonic chord. So if Ken would play something like that, I could show you that there's a scale that they usually use. And it wouldn't be, instead of playing the old rock and roll pentatonic scale, you know, Django would do something a little different. He would go.
Yeah, yeah. Which is part of a tradition from where he was born, because if you go through southeastern Europe, you find this sort of folk tradition. It's basically a folk tradition, which gypsies are a part of the folk culture in places like Bulgaria and Romania, and you know, where people think there are vampires. And I don't know if you're familiar with somebody like Bartok.
Yeah.
But Bartok, who was an ethnomusicologist who collected musical samples from these cultures, incorporated that into his own music, which is very different from the jazz music that we're talking about here. But again, the influence, there's a synergy between the two.
Or even someone like Dave Brubeck from the U.S., who traveled through Eastern Europe also and got a lot of his ideas from.
It's hard not to absorb these things if your ear is open to them.
Exactly.
So I can see that's interesting. But you do have to adapt to it if you haven't heard it before, and you kind of have to learn
it
if you're used to playing Bach or something.
Right. And like on a string bend, a lot of guitar players, if they're playing like they want to bend into a note, you know, Django wouldn't bend, you know, wouldn't bend into, like in the blues, you'd bend into the 7th chord, like maybe something. Okay, well, Django would play something like that. So it was like this little hat. It would be bending into the 6th. For musicians, we know that what that is.
We need to talk a little bit about Django just so people get an idea of who this guy really was, because it's quite a story. Our guests are Jazz Gitan. Is it Gitan or Jitan?
No, that's fine.
I'm messing around with you. They are a gypsy jazz trio based here in Sacramento. They're performing this Saturday at the Mardi Gras Festival in Old Town Sac. You can learn more at their website. It's jazzgitan, that's spelled with a G, GITAN.com, or at capradio.org/insight. I thought maybe you guys recorded a little earlier, and I thought maybe we would just get an idea of what the group sounds like when they're playing and what you'll sound like when people go to see you at the Delta King this weekend. It's Sweet Georgia Brown, of all things. I'm sorry the Globetrotters are not here to spin away, but if we could just play the recording. This is Jazz Gitan in performance to Gypsy Jazz Trio in Sacramento.
1, 2, 3.
That's a nice little treat. That is Jazz Jatan performing here in our studios. They performed and recorded this a little earlier this morning, and they are our guests here on Insight. My name is Bruce Maimon. Jazz Jatan is they call themselves a gypsy jazz swing trio. They're performing this Saturday at the Delta King in Old Town as part of the Mardi Gras Festival. In our studio with us are Don Price and Ken Bilecci.
Bilecci.
Yeah. Okay, Italian.
Yes.
And Jane Thompson. Don and Ken are the guitarists, and Jane is the bass. We were talking as this music was playing, because you guys heard it, so you know what it sounds like, and I was listening to it when you were recording it earlier. And we were talking about Django Reinhardt as a seminal and very unique jazz guitarist, but in a lot of ways. This was a guy who was – it's a remarkable story. I should have you guys tell it about how he got injured in a fire and how he used what happened to him to create the kind of a style that he has. So who wants to take that from here? Anybody?
Oh, okay. I thought everybody knew this. The story goes that he was in his trailer, and he had some kind of plastic flowers. That was the story. And somehow he injured his hand, and he wasn't able to play for a while. And then he just sort of rehabilitated himself.
Yeah, it was in a fire. They had a fire.
And
he burned two of the five fingers on his fret hand, the left hand.
Yes, on his left hand.
They're actually fused together.
And they were actually fused, and so to speak. And so there was so much damage that he ended up having to play the guitar in a different way. So he started using more or less two fingers, although if you really watch him, you'll see he'll use the other.
He's got that kind of Vulcan thing going with the
and you know, unless you actually play a guitar or you try to look at the chords he's playing, you'll notice that they're three-note chords usually instead of the typical four-note jazz chords. And so, and that, again, that's kind of mother of invention, you know. Necessity is what created that sound. And so...
Yeah. The irony is that here's a guy now with essentially, I suppose you could say, four fingers instead of three, and somewhat crippled. They thought he'd never walk again.
He walked. Yeah, he was very serious.
They wanted to amputate his leg. He wouldn't allow them to do that. This whole deal, he just said, forget that.
Right.
And yet... You think that somebody with a disability would not be able to play as well, and yet what he laid out as a particular style, this Django style, is very virtuosic and hard for people to really get under their fingers. That's really remarkable. So it's always a learning process for you guys. I mean, you're constantly working on this stuff and getting flustered every time you hear other guitarists or you hear even an old recording of Django.
Yeah, well, he was playing professionally when he was 13 years old.
Yeah.
So there was something very mystical about Django because he had that technique and that facility and that drive to perform the way he did at a very young age.
And I would invite anybody, whoever, to listen to a Django recording. Just imagine what that would sound like without him. It would be so different because Django Reinhardt, we're talking a guitarist, and his rhythm, his driving power propels the entire band. We were talking about this off the air. So I guess a lot of this is on all of you. So, Jane, you really got to get that string bass cracking, man, and really keep up with these guys, I would imagine.
Well,
right?
Ken and I are a team, you know. We're back there just pushing Don, you know, so he can fly all over the place.
Yes, that rhythm.
That's right.
Yeah.
And do you ever think about getting a violinist? You know, I suppose you can't talk about Django Reinhardt or the music that he played without talking about Stefan Grappelli, who they were a duo for a long time. And it would seem to me you could become a quartet, no?
Do you have a violin there, Bruce?
No, I'm a piano player, and I'm not lugging around a grand piano to meet up with you guys, and I'm not playing that electric D50 or whatever. I hate that stuff. Give me the acoustic or I'm out of here. I'm not touching that.
Okay.
But it's a great their recordings are just wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And Grappelli, what a great player he was.
Excellent,
you know?
All the way through.
So is there anybody out there that's doing that, or do they all just want to get out there and play that Tchaikovsky violin concerto?
There are some. You can find them. A lot of them are in the Bay Area right now, it seems like, in California at least. But Stefan Grappelli was something else. Jane has a story about Stefan would always get mad at Django around springtime. Why did he do that? I can't remember.
Well, because Django would just disappear. He would get spring fever, and I don't want to play any gigs. And Stefan Grappelli would get all these gigs, calls coming in for gigs, and Django was nowhere to be
found.
You
see, this is the wandering gypsy never leaves one's roots.
He was notoriously unreliable.
Well, gentlemen and lady, pleasure to have you here. The Gypsy Jazz Swing Trio, Jazz Jatan. They're performing this Saturday at the Delta King in Old Town as part of the Mardi Gras Festival. You can learn more at their website, jazzjatan.com. That's J-A-Z-Z, obviously, G-I-T-A-N.com, or at capradio.org/insight, where you'll find all our segments for each show available for your listening pleasure and or edification. Don Price, Ken Bellici, and Jane Thompson, thank you for joining us here on Insight.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
All right. I think we're good to go. And that is today's Insight. We thank all our guests this morning for coming in. I'm Bruce Maimon, Insight's assistant producers, James Morrison and Lynn Weaver. Today's associate producer was Sosan Morar, and our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is the person who pays us, Joe Barr. Thank you for joining us, and happy Valentine's Day.